Good days ahead. So today we are celebrating what Sunday? Easter Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. So how many of you know that the resurrection is mentioned in the first few words of the Bible in Genesis? How many of you are aware of that? So it is Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." This is an amazing day where Jesus has risen, and right at the beginning of our Bibles, right in Genesis, it points to a special day, Resurrection Sunday. How do we know that? So let's learn some Hebrew. Okay, you say after me. Bereshit bara Elohim. Bereshit bara Elohim. Now, this is a pretty amazing statement in Hebrew, because Elohim, anything that ends in I-M, is plural. And that's God. And it teaches us right in the beginning that God is not singular. He is, there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But there's this plurality of it. But then in Hebrew, the language is quite a defined language, and you would never put together Elohim is plural, bara is singular. You would never write in Hebrew a plural noun and a singular verb together. It's written wrong, except it's written right. Because right at the beginning, God is telling us that no matter how powerful we think he is, how great, how amazing, he is much more powerful, he is greater, he is much more amazing. And there's a mystery that starts right at the beginning of the Bible, that God's pointing to the day, this special day when Jesus will be raised from the dead. And when we only have this written in this context, once in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament. The New Testament is when it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, Tala, the Lamb, Elohim, Tala, Elohim." It's only written here, again then, where you have a plural noun and a singular verb. And what that tells us is that God wants to do something extraordinary. Right at the beginning of the Bible, God wants to do something extraordinary. In the Bible is full of mysteries. God has given us stuff there to understand about him and to delve into his scriptures and to understand. So let's have a look at the first five books in the Bible. Does anybody know what the first five books in the Bible are called? Begin with P. Pentateuch. And what are they? Read, shout them out. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Now, the word Genesis comes from it's not a Hebrew name, it's actually a Greek name. And it means, as we translate it, it's the origin of something or the formation of something. And God is going to form something, God is going to do something in Genesis, and that is going to be a mystery for generations. So in Genesis and Exodus, if you look at the Hebrew word, Hebrew letters, every 50th letter spells out the word Torah, T-O-R-A-H, which means the law or instruction. Genesis and Exodus, every 50th letter spells out the word Torah. In Leviticus, every 7th Hebrew letter spells out the name Jehovah or Yahweh, the sacred name. So Genesis and Exodus are pointing to Leviticus, and Deuteronomy and Numbers, what they do is if you count every 50th letter in Hebrew, it uses the word Torah backwards. So they point back to Leviticus. You see this amazing mystery in the Bible. The Hebrew language is so powerful. But why does it point to Leviticus? What's the purpose of Leviticus other than the sacred name of God? Leviticus is the sacrificial system that God gives to the people so that they can be saved from their sins. It's where the lamb is sacrificed on behalf of the sins of people. So in the Old Testament, in Jewish times, what happened was every year on the Day of Atonement, lambs or goats would be sacrificed. And then at Passover, you would bring your own lamb to be sacrificed for your sin and my sin. Now, Leviticus is all about the sacrificial lamb. And if you ever wonder why the Old Testament is written, if I summarize it, it's all about the sacrificial lamb. Tala Elohim, the lamb of God that was slain. So when you're reading Leviticus, you think, what's all this about? It's all about a mystery that God is going to do something on a special day. So you see, we have these lovely mysteries in the Bible. And I'm going to talk again about another Hebrew word. Can you say the word satav? S-A-T-A-V. Satav is the Hebrew word for winter. And the reason I'm going to introduce this word right now, some of you know it already, is because I believe God has a special message for some of you here today. This is probably the most important message you've heard for a long time. Satav is winter. Now, we call this winter over here. Winter is a time of death. It's a time of barrenness. It's a time of no hope. It's a time where we're broken. It's times when nothing grows, that no fruit is born in the winter time. It's a time of death. And what I want to say to you today is some of you feel barren. Some of you feel broken. Some of you feel you have no hope that are in this room or watching. It's almost like you're in this winter period. We call it sad times sometimes, where people feel depressed and down. But at the end of Satav is a time in the Hebrew calendar called Nisan. Can you spell that? Say that, Nisan. Nisan. Nisan is a very special month in the Hebrew calendar. It's all about redemption. It's all about the winter coming to an end and the spring coming. It's all about God doing a new thing. And guess what month we're in now? The month of Nisan. We're in the month of Nisan. It's actually Nisan 18 in the Jewish calendar, 5783. 5783. So therefore you know what's happening in the Jewish calendar today. So Nisan is a very, very special month. And God does amazing things in Nisan. In Nisan, the season of darkness comes to an end. I want to say to some of you in this room, your season of darkness is coming to an end. Amen? The season of darkness that captivates you and holds you captive is coming to an end because Nisan is here. Amen? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? I'm trying to build a picture of what we have in Resurrection Sunday. So Nisan also means beginning. Nisan also has the same meaning, beginning. Bereshit, beginning. Nisan, beginning. And for some of you today, you need a new beginning. It's called the month of the Messiah. This is the month where the Tala Elohim is revealed, the Lamb of God. And today, the Lamb of God, Jesus, is here today. And I want to say to you that Jesus is the only person in this room, the only person in Redditch, the only person in the UK, the only person in this world that can bring an end to your winter period in life. He's the only one. There is nobody else that is powerful enough, is able to bring an end to that season in your life of barrenness and darkness and brokenness. He is the only one. He's the only one that can. He's the only one that will. And he will walk with you forever if you allow him to. Because when God created you and I, he created us to live in fruitfulness. This is a time for your life to bear fruit. It's the time for the barren woman to sing. You may feel barren. You may feel you've lost your song that you used to have in your life. Well, today is the day that you will start to sing again. For everybody that loves the Lord Jesus, can I tell you, every day is Nisan. Every day is Nisan. You are living in a Nisan period of time where the end of winter has come and new life has gone. And winter has gone, new life has come. Is that good news? Have I lost you yet? I'm going to keep trying. Okay. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's read this together nice and loud. Therefore, if anyone... Let's say it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And only Jesus can take you from the winter period, Sitav, into Nisan. And if you're in it, every day is Nisan. In the Old Testament, we have this story of the Song of Solomon. Anybody read the Song of Solomon? Isn't that amazing story? Do you know what it's about? It's about Jesus, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride. Let's read these verses. Solomon chapter 2, 10 to 11. My beloved spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Isn't that a beautiful prophetic message for the church, for people that will follow Jesus? See, the winter is past. I want to declare it over your life. See, church, if you're visiting today, see, the winter is past. The rains are over and they are gone. Let's continue to read this. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of the doves is heard in our land. The fig trees forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you today, arise from your winter period. Come on, come with me. Arise, come with me. The Lord Jesus says, you're so beautiful, just as you are. In your broken state, in the state where you feel you have no hope. Arise, my darling. Come with me. This is how precious you are to Jesus. This is why he died. So that you could enjoy life to the fullness. I want to say to you, it's time to break out of winter. It's time to break out of darkness. And to bear the fruit that we're meant to bear. This is a season of singing. Some of you stop singing in your brokenness, in your journey that's so painful. If some of you stop singing, it's time to start singing again. It's time to play your worship music. We've got a singing coach here, haven't we? Stand up, singing coach. Come on, stand up. We've got a lovely singing coach there. If you want to learn to sing, see this beautiful lady here. Thank you. If you've stopped singing, start singing. Do you know what I do when I'm in my car? Wind my windows down. Put on How Great Is Our God at 52, which is the highest it'll go in my car. And I will sing and worship the Lord. And if you want to break out of a winter season, start singing and bring your praises back to God. Some of you today are going to start singing a new song. So this is the 18th of Nisan, 5783, and in the Hebrew it has a special day and a special name. It's called the Day of the Reshit, the Day of New Beginnings. Who needs a new beginning? Who needs a fresh start? Who needs that today? This is today, the Day of the Reshit, the Day of beginnings. And the beautiful thing for us as Christians is every Sunday is a day of new beginnings. Do you need a new beginning today? Do you need a fresh start? Do you need something today that you can leave the past behind and forget it and have a new day? I think there are some in this. And this is part of God's amazing plan. You see, in the beginning when God created the earth, he knew we would be here today. He knew you would be in this room because he knows everything, because it's far greater than we can even understand or imagine. That's who God is. Elohim. So much more powerful. So let's look back to Leviticus for a minute. Do you remember Leviticus? What's the importance of Leviticus? Anybody remember? Sacred name of Jesus and the sacrificial lamb. So what does God say to Moses? The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain of your harvest. He's to wave the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the... What day? What's the day after the Sabbath? Sunday. But not just any Sabbath, the Passover Sabbath, which we've just had. So today is the day of the Reshit. So what they would do is they would have the harvest and they would bring the sheaf of the harvest and they give it to the priest and he would wave it before God. It was called the wave offering. He would wave it before God and say, God, would you accept the first fruits of this harvest? The first fruit. The first bit that we have, we want to give it back to you, God. This is why we give our tithes and offerings back to God. We give back what belongs to him. And he waves this and the whole of the congregation, the whole of the people just jump up in praise. Because then God blesses the rest of the harvest. As the harvest comes in, God is blessing it. And you knew when the presence of God was in Israel. And you knew when the people were serving God because they never ran out of food. It's only when they turned away from God and there was sin in the land that there was no food. That's why in the temple there was no showbread. And that's why people left and went to other countries. But when the presence of God is in the house, there is always bread. And I say to you today, the presence of God is here and there's always enough for you. And he will always provide for you. He's promised to do that if you follow him and put your trust in him. He has said it, not me. He will do it because he always keeps his promises. So the Reshit is the first fruits, the beginning of the harvest. God's master plan, right at the beginning of Genesis 1:1 and Leviticus, is that he would save his people from their sins. The technical term in the Bible is he redeems them. He pays the price for their sin. It was always God's master plan that one day his son, who left heaven, came to earth, would die on a cross. It was always his plan. In the Old Testament, they didn't fully understand it. They didn't fully grasp it. We can now, as we study the word of God. What day did Jesus rise on? Speak up. Sunday. What day was that? The third day. And what day was that? It was the day after the Passover Sabbath. Do you understand that? Jesus had to rise on that particular Sunday. He had to. To fulfill what was written in Genesis 1:1. Jesus had to be raised from the dead and lifted up from the grave on the day of the Reshit. He had to do it to fulfill scripture. And when Jesus is lifted up out of the grave, he is the first fruit of the harvest. And do you know what the harvest is? Have a look in the room. Have a look around in the room. You're the harvest. I'm the harvest. Billions of people are in the harvest today because the first fruits of Jesus Christ was raised from the tomb. And Jesus will come again when everybody, when that harvest is finished, and take people home to be with him. You've still got time today to accept Jesus Christ and to be part of this amazing harvest of billions of souls because Jesus has been lifted up. Let's have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 20, 23. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then he who comes, those who belong to him. Do you see the beauty of what God does right at the beginning in Genesis? He makes a way. He knows what's going to happen. God sees everything from the beginning to the end. He knows everything that's going to happen in your life. Absolutely everything. Nothing is hidden from him. He knows every mistake that you and I will make. He knows everything that we will say and do is wrong, and yet he still loves us. My beloved, come to me. And he has to do it and be raised from the dead on this day. Matthew 28, 1 to 6. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." Come and see. Can I invite you today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, come and see. Come and find him for yourself. Come and ask the question, Jesus, if you're real, would you reveal yourself to me today, right now? Would you show your power in my life as I take my brokenness and all that I have, which is very little? Would you take it? And would you change my winter season in my life and bring redemption? You see the picture of this grave. This is the garden tomb. Those of you that have been to Israel, this is the garden tomb. I want to ask you a question. Is a tomb a place of death or life? Is it? Generally? A tomb is a place of death. We've all gone to funerals. We've all sat there through a funeral service and we've grieved. It's a place of death. It's a place of hopelessness. I mean, what can be more depressing and sorrowful than a funeral? It's not a good place to be. Even though if they love Jesus, we know that they're with Jesus, it is a sorrowful place. It's a despairing place. Yet of all places on earth, redemption begins in the tomb. Faith begins in the tomb. The good news begins in the tomb. The message of salvation begins in the tomb. Jesus had to die for you. He had to die for me, for our sins. But in it, something amazing happens. 3 days later, Jesus, because he had no sin, the Father raised him up and accepted him as a sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for you and I. And only he could die. So, normally a tomb is where hopes and dreams end. It's where life ends. But in Genesis 1:1, God has an amazing master plan. And the tomb that seems the end of life becomes the Bereshit, the beginning. Do you see how God's plans work? When everything else fails, God steps into humanity. God steps into history. God steps into your life. And he begins something new. When I have my funeral, this will be one of the scriptures that I have. 1 Corinthians 15:55 to 57. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a radical way of the kingdom of God. In God's journey, we go from, not from life to death, but from death to life. But we have to come to the tomb. We have to come to a place of death to find life. And only those who are willing to come to the place of the end can a beginning come. You have to lay down your life, your own agenda, your own dreams, your own desires. You have to lay them down. And only then, as you give your life to Jesus and fully serve him, will a new beginning come. Jesus says some radical things. Matthew 16:25. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Could you just close your eyes in a minute in this room? For Christians, this is an amazing day. This is a wonderful day. This is a day that we celebrate every year. There is joy in our hearts. But you might not be rejoicing today. You might be so broken that you just need hope. And with everybody's eyes closed so nobody looks around, I want to ask you to do that, to respect everybody, please. Is there anybody today that would like to give their life to Jesus in this room? If you're at home and you want to do it, there is somebody, Judy's on the online, and you can connect with Judy. Is there anybody today that needs to give their life to Jesus? Would you raise your hand so I can see it? Thank you. God bless you. I've seen that hand at the back. Thank you. Anybody else? Father, I just pray for that precious young lady, beautiful young lady who needs a new start. I pray, Lord, you will bless her now. And this will be a day of new beginnings for her, in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord.